February 10th. We begin our Bible reading today as usual in the Old Testament, and our narrative today will come from the book of Exodus, chapter 30, verse 11. We'll go through chapter 31, verse 18. Remember, you are ransomed. The penalty has been paid. They were not redeemed by paying money, nor are we. But paying the annual half shekel reminded them of what God had done for them. The silver was used to make the sockets for the posts of the tabernacle. The foundation for everything is redemption. Remember to keep clean. Like the priests, we are washed once at redemption, but we must keep clean in our daily walk. If they became defiled, even while serving the Lord in the holy tabernacle, what must happen to us as we serve in an evil world? And we'll be reminded here as we read in Exodus chapter 30 to remember to honor the Holy Spirit. The holy anointing oil symbolizes the Spirit of God. We must beware trying to duplicate His work by human effort or treating Him in a common way. In Exodus chapter 31, in our reading today in the Old Testament, we'll read about work. When God wants to get a job done, He calls workers. He equips them and gives them the plan for the task. He also calls people to help them and to provide the needed resources. Bezalel and Oholiab were gifted artisans, but they needed God's calling and enabling before they could do the work to please Him. And with that, let's begin our reading today here in the Old Testament. February 10th, Exodus chapter 30, verse 11, through chapter 31, verse 18. And the Lord said to Moses, "Whenever you take a census of the people of Israel, each man who is counted must pay a ransom for himself to the Lord. Then there will be no plagues among the people as you count them. His payment to the Lord will be 1/5 of an ounce of silver. All who have reached their 20th birthday must give this offering to the Lord. When this offering is given to the Lord to make atonement for yourselves, the rich must not give more, and the poor must not give less. Use this money for the care of the tabernacle. It will bring you, the Israelites, to the Lord's attention, and it will make atonement for your lives." And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a large bronze wash basin with a bronze pedestal. Put it between the tabernacle and the altar, and fill it with water. Aaron and his sons will wash their hands and feet there before they go into the tabernacle to appear before the Lord, and before they approach the altar to burn offerings to the Lord. They must always wash before ministering in these ways, or they will die. This is a permanent law for Aaron and his descendants, to be kept from generation to generation." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Collect choice spices, 12.5 pounds of pure myrrh, 6.25 pounds each of cinnamon and of sweet cane, 12.5 pounds of cassia, and 1 gallon of olive oil. Blend these ingredients into a holy anointing oil. Use this scented oil to anoint the tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant, the table, and all its utensils, the lampstand, and all its accessories, the incense altar, the altar of burnt offering with all its utensils, and the large wash basin with its pedestal. Sanctify them, to make them entirely holy. After this, whatever touches them will become holy. Use this oil also to anoint Aaron and his sons, sanctifying them so they can minister before me as priests. And say to the people of Israel, 'This will always be my holy anointing oil. It must never be poured on the body of an ordinary person, and you must never make any of it for yourselves. It is holy, and you must treat it as holy. Anyone who blends scented oil like it or puts any of it on someone who is not a priest will be cut off from the community.'" These were the Lord's instructions to Moses concerning the incense. "Gather sweet spices, resin droplets, mollusk scent, galbanum, and pure frankincense, weighing out the same amounts of each. Using the usual techniques of the incense maker, refine it to produce a pure and holy incense. Beat some of it very fine, and put some of it in front of the Ark of the Covenant, where I will meet with you in the tabernacle. This incense is most holy. Never make this incense for yourselves. It is reserved for the Lord, and you must treat it as holy. Those who make it for their own enjoyment will be cut off from the community. The Lord also said to Moses, Look, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, grandson of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. I have filled him with the Spirit of God, giving him great wisdom, intelligence, and skill in all kinds of crafts. He is able to create beautiful objects from gold, silver, and bronze. He is skilled in cutting and setting gemstones and in carving wood. Yes, he is a master at every craft. And I have appointed Aholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, to be his assistant. Moreover, I have given special skill to all the naturally talented craftsmen, so they can make all the things I've instructed you to make: the tabernacle itself, the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark's cover, the place of atonement, all the furnishings of the tabernacle, the table and all its utensils, the gold lampstand with all its accessories, the incense altar, the altar of burnt offering with all its utensils, the wash basin and its pedestal, the beautifully stitched holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments for his sons to wear as they minister as priests, the anointing oil, and the special incense for the holy place. They must follow exactly all the instructions I have given you. The Lord then gave these further instructions to Moses. Tell the people of Israel to keep my Sabbath day, for the Sabbath is a sign of the covenant between me and you forever. It helps you to remember that I am the Lord who makes you holy. Yes, keep the Sabbath day, for it is holy. Anyone who desecrates it must die. Anyone who works on that day will be cut off from the community. Work 6 days only, but the seventh day must be a day of total rest. I repeat, because the Lord considers it a holy day, anyone who works on the Sabbath must be put to death. The people of Israel must keep the Sabbath day forever. It is a permanent sign of my covenant with them. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, but he rested on the seventh day and was refreshed. Then, as the Lord finished speaking with Moses on Mount Sinai, he gave him the 2 stone tablets inscribed with the terms of the covenant written by the finger of God. February 10th. And now, as we turn our attention to the reading of the New Testament, today we'll be narrating from the book of Matthew, chapter 26, verses 47 through 68. We'll see that life presents us with many opportunities. How we respond to them depends on what we love and what we look for in life. The Jewish leaders looked for opportunity to destroy Jesus, while at the same time Jesus was anticipating the opportunity to obey his Father and bring him glory. Mary used the opportunity she had for expressing her devotion to Christ, but Judas used that same opportunity to criticize her. Nothing given in love to Jesus is ever wasted. Judas was the one who ended up wasting his life. Jesus eagerly anticipated the opportunity to be with his disciples, even though he knew one would betray him, one would deny him, and all would forsake him. He sought to help them and prepare them for the trial before them. Peter missed his opportunities to become strong and be a victor. He boasted when he should have listened. He slept when he should have prayed, fought when he should have surrendered, and followed when he should have fled for safety. But when the opportunity came for him to repent, he wept. That was the right thing to do. No matter what others did, Jesus was in complete command and knew how to make the most of every opportunity. not as I will, but as you will. There's the secret to life, right there, submitting to the will of God. God will give you many opportunities today. Use them wisely. And now, let's begin our reading today here in the New Testament. February 10th, Matthew chapter 26, verses 47 through 68. And even as he, Jesus, said this, Judas, one of the 12 disciples, arrived with a mob that was armed with swords and clubs. They had been sent out by the leading priests and other leaders of the people. Judas had given them a prearranged signal. You will know which one to arrest when I go over and give him the kiss of greeting. So Judas came straight to Jesus. Greetings, teacher, he exclaimed, and gave him the kiss. Jesus said, My friend, go ahead and do what you have come for. Then the others grabbed Jesus and arrested him. One of the men with Jesus pulled out a sword and slashed off an ear of the high priest's servant. Put away your sword, Jesus told him. Those who use the sword will be killed by the sword. Don't you realize that I could ask my Father for thousands of angels to protect us, and he would send them instantly? But if I did, how would the scriptures be fulfilled that describe what must happen now? Then Jesus said to the crowd, Am I some dangerous criminal that you've come armed with swords and clubs to arrest me? Why didn't you arrest me in the temple? I was there teaching every day. But this is all happening to fulfill the words of the prophets, as recorded in the scriptures. At that point, all the disciples deserted him and fled. Then the people who had arrested Jesus led him to the home of Caiaphas the high priest, where the teachers of religious law and other leaders had gathered. Meanwhile, Peter was following far behind and eventually came to the courtyard of the high priest's house. He went in, sat with the guards, and waited to see what was going to happen to Jesus. Inside, the leading priests and the entire high council were trying to find witnesses who would lie about Jesus so they could put him to death. But even though they found many who agreed to give false witness, there was no testimony they could use. Finally, two men were found who declared, This man said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days. Then the high priest stood up and said to Jesus, Well, aren't you going to answer these charges? What do you have to say for yourself? But Jesus remained silent. Then the high priest said to him, I demand in the name of the living God that you tell us whether you are the Messiah, the Son of God. Jesus replied, Yes, it is as you say. And in the future you will see me, the Son of Man, sitting at God's right hand in the place of power and coming back on the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his clothing to show his horror, shouting, Blasphemy! Why do we need other witnesses? You have all heard his blasphemy. What is your verdict? Guilty, they shouted. He must die. Then they spit in Jesus' face and hit him with their fists. And some slapped him, saying, Prophesy to us, you Messiah. Who hit you that time? Psalm 32, verses 1 through 11. This penitential psalm grew out of David's experiences with the Lord after he had committed adultery and had tried to hide his sins. When you refuse to confess your sins, the Lord must deal with you to bring you to repentance. The longer you wait, the more miserable you will be, as you can see in David's experience. You must face the following, the debt against you. God sees what you do and keeps a record of it. David had covered his sins on earth, but he could not cover the record in heaven. When we confess, God wipes the record clean. The pain within you. You must face this one too. Sin affects the body, and God's disciplines are sometimes painful but needful. David became like an old man carrying a heavy burden. And you'll have to face the flood around you. God uses difficult circumstances to bring you back to himself. In fact, because of his sins, David went through many deep waters with his family. And you must face the road before you. David was like a stubborn animal that needed to be broken. When you are out of the will of God, your decisions will often create problems instead of solve them. The way gets harder. Well, David, as we'll see here in this psalm, he went from silence to singing because he finally was honest with God and confessed his sins. Psalm 32, verses 1 through 11, a psalm of David. Oh, what joy for those whose rebellion is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of sin, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. When I refused to confess my sin, I was weak and miserable, and I groaned all day long. Day and night your hand of discipline was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. Finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide them. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. Therefore, let all the godly confess their rebellion to you while there is time, that they may not drown in the floodwaters of judgment. For you are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble. You surround me with songs of victory. The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. Do not be like a senseless horse or mule that needs a bit and bridle to keep it under control. Many sorrows come to the wicked, but unfailing love surrounds those who trust the Lord. So rejoice in the Lord and be glad, all you who obey him. Shout for joy, all you whose hearts are pure. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 27 through 32. I, wisdom, was there when he established the heavens, when he drew the horizon on the oceans. I was there when he set the clouds above, when he established the deep fountains of the earth. I was there when he set the limits of the seas, so they would not spread beyond their boundaries, and when he marked off the earth's foundations. I was the architect at his side. I was his constant delight, rejoicing always in his presence. And how happy I was with what he created, his wide world and all the human family. And so, my children, listen to me, for happy are all who follow my ways.